Welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
Amazing Grace. Well, as we are moving along in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, we see that Paul shifts from a discussion of carnality in verses 1 through 4 to a discussion of ministry, and particularly the activities and the thinking of ministers of the gospel of Jesus Christ, which he wants the Corinthians to understand. And though that sounds like it's an entirely different subject, it actually is not. This all boils down, or maybe I should say it all points back to the introduction of the first problem in the Corinthian church back in chapter 1. And the first problem is divisions in the church. And Paul is dealing with that. He's continuing to deal with that. And when he comes to chapter 3 and talks about them being carnal, that's related to this problem. And he goes into what he means by carnal. They're immature. They're babes in Christ. They can't absorb the solid meat of the Word, but they're still only able to take in the milk of the Word. But then he goes on to say that other evidences of this carnality are envy, strife, and petty divisions. This strife, this bickering, a failure to get along one with another, a lot of it has to do with their supporting and contending for their favorite preacher, Paul or Apollos or whoever. And Paul says, part of the problem is you don't really understand ministry very well. The reason why you are carnal is your immaturity, and part of your maturity is your failure to understand what the ministry is all about. Your carnality or your immaturity has to do with failures of understanding in a lot of areas. You just are not well prepared to absorb the solid teaching of God's Word. And an important area of that right now to address this problem of divisions is to have a better understanding of Christian ministry. So that's why Paul moves in that direction, and we'll continue ourselves in that direction on this Wednesday, May 26, thanking the Lord for the opportunity of doing so, and glad that you're able to be with us, and dependent upon God touching the hearts of some of our radio listeners in order to provide the finances for this ministry. So, understanding ministry. He had said in verse 4, for one says, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos. Are you not carnal? And then he goes on to say, who then is Paul? And who is Apollos? You're dividing up among us. I am of Paul. I am of Apollos. Well, who is Paul and who is Apollos? But, and here he gives the answer, ministers, through whom you believed as the Lord gave to each one. Ministers are servants. It's a rhetorical question. Who then is Paul? Who is Apollos? He asks the question to cause them to think. He's going to answer it himself. And the answer is, they are ministers through whom you believed. Ministers. And here the word is diakonoi, servants, table waiters. Where have we heard that word before, diakonoi? Well, that's where we get the word deacon. A deacon is a servant, but Paul was also a deacon. Apollos was a deacon in the broader general sense. There is a specific sense, an office of a deacon, and that's more specific, very, very specific. And when you're talking about deacon in that sense, then Paul and Apollos were not deacons in the sense of holding the office of a deacon in a local church. That's not who they were. But when you're talking about the broad general sense of what the word deacon means, it means a servant, a table waiter. That's what they were when all of this began in Acts chapter 6, and the widows' tables were being neglected. And so the apostles said to the church, you need to choose out seven men of high qualifications, full of the Holy Spirit and so forth, whom we may appoint over this business so that we can give ourselves continually to the Word of God in prayer. And so these seven men, mature men, godly men, Spirit-filled men, capable men, some of whom were powerful preachers themselves, as was Stephen, and got himself stoned because of his powerful preaching in the synagogues around Jerusalem, and people couldn't withstand his preaching. It was so powerful and so accurate and so biblical and so irrefutable, and it was persuading too many to believe on Jesus. And so Stephen was hauled up in front of the Sanhedrin, and there he preached another powerful sermon, and the conclusion of that was they stoned him to death. But who was Stephen? Was he a pastor? Was he an apostle? Was he an elder? No, he was a deacon. That's the office that he held. Now, it's important for us to understand that almost all of these terms have both a specific and a general sense. The term elder is like that. What is an elder? Well, it depends on whether you're talking about the office of elder, and the context will show you what's in mind, or whether you're talking about a mature, older person. An elder, we use the term in that way in our day. You should not speak disrespectfully to your elders. Well, when we say it that way, we generally understand that we're not talking about pastors, we're talking about our parents, we're talking about our grandparents, we're talking about those who are older than we are, and considerably older, a generation removed from us is pretty much what we have in mind there. Don't speak disrespectfully to your elders, or we can say the elders of the church are going to have a meeting today to talk about a particular issue. Now we know this is not saying that all of the older people in the church are gathered together for this purpose, but we're talking specifically about those who have been installed in the office of an elder. They are ordained as elders. They have been selected as office bearers, and the particular office they hold is the office of elder or pastor. Now, why do I take that much time to talk about this? Because this would clear away a lot of confusion. I could also add other terms. The term apostle is similar. Sometimes it's used in a specific sense, such as one of the 12 apostles of the Lord Jesus Christ. Sometimes it's used in a more general sense of someone who's been authorized or commissioned to represent somebody else, to carry out a task that's been assigned to them. They are an emissary. They have been sent what they commission. They are an apostle in that sense. And if we would understand that these words have both a general and a specific sense, then we wouldn't insist on, and here's the whole point, we wouldn't insist on applying a specialized and specific meaning every time the word is used. This is the way that some people try to demonstrate that the Bible speaks of women who are who hold the office of deacon in the church. And I won't go to the specific passage that's generally employed for that right now, but it certainly is not clear that that is what the passage means. If you insist upon an official specific office sense of the term, then of course that's what it's teaching. But since the term more often than not just simply means a servant, someone who serves the Lord, who serves the church, then it has nothing to do with the office of deacon and does nothing to support the idea that the Bible authorizes women to be deacons. And I probably shouldn't have gone that direction, but I just wanted to point that out to you because here's a good example of it. We're looking at it right here. 1 Corinthians 3:5, who then is Paul? Well, how do we answer that question? We would say he is an apostle of Jesus Christ. He is. Who then is Paul? Who then is Apollos? How do we answer that question? Well, Apollos was an eloquent preacher of the word, a traveling evangelist. But let's see how Paul answers the question. Who then is Paul, and who is Apollos, but deacons through whom you believed, as the Lord gave to each one? Ministers, plural, diakonoi. If it were singular here, it would be diakonos. Ministers, servants, table waiters, through whom you believed. Now, I'll get to that phrase, through whom you believed, in a moment. But it's clear that what Paul is doing here is saying you shouldn't be elevating these men, including himself, who then is Paul, is Paul who's writing. You shouldn't be elevating these people above what is appropriate. Now, there are other times when you have the opposite problem. People who are failing to give honor that is appropriate and necessary. And so in this very same epistle, you'll find Paul defending his office of apostle against critics and attacks and insisting that though he recognizes himself not to be anybody in himself, nevertheless, he also recognizes that he was chosen by Jesus Christ as an apostle. And as an apostle, he has certain assignments and responsibilities, and he is going to carry them out as faithfully as he can, whether other people acknowledge his apostleship or not. He is an apostle, and they need to recognize that. He is not just another Christian. He is an apostle. Sometimes he had to argue that way to fight one particular error, but here he's fighting another. He's emphasizing another truth to fight a different kind of error. People are dividing in the church, demonstrating their carnality by elevating preachers to a higher position than is warranted, and basically trying to make a clique, a following, a special group where all the people who follow this particular preacher belong to this group, and all these people that follow this other particular preacher belong to that group. And Paul is saying, no, we're all one in Christ. We're all members of the same body. Who then is Paul? Who then is Apollos? But servants, table waiters, just servants of the Lord Jesus Christ and servants of the church. Don't make too much of them. Please don't make a cult following out of them. Some of these people were doing. So you need to understand the nature of the ministry and of ministers. And we'll continue, Lord willing, tomorrow. Until then, good day. May God give you his eternal peace.